Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That? With me, Holly Frew.
And me, Ronan Warfield.
I did the thing now this week. I was like, Holly Frew?
Frew? Is that my name?
Is
that my name?
Yeah.
you are Holly Frew. I can confirm you are. That's who you are.
Though I've never really shown you my ID. Maybe it's all just a lie.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's personality. That like double life you've been leading.
Yes, exactly. Very Bond. Yeah.
Very.
But I had one of my favorite TV shows on there before we did this.
Which is?
Cheap Irish Homes on RTÉ1.
Cheap Irish Homes? I thought RTÉ only dealt with ridiculous, overpriced RTÉ
homes. The recession.
Dermot Bannock comes in and ruins.
Yeah, but then it's the whole pennies effect of like, oh, wow, you got that for so cheap. That's so cool.
I don't know. I think anything that feeds into like greed in the property market is bad.
No, but this is actually turning that idea on its head, though. It's kind of like looking at what we have. Like there's a load of like really cool old houses that are 60, 70, like 100 grand in the country. And it's like showing that there's great value in those kind of older buildings without totally knocking them down, do you know?
Right.
So it's like it's got a good place in its heart.
I don't know.
You're so skeptical, but actually, when you watch it, it's like, oh no, they're actually just trying to revive these houses. They're not trying to sell them on as like a rental property for your third house. Do you know?
It's not like that. It's not like the what's that? That rich person's fucking wankery show. What's the person of the home of the year? Where like all assholes come in and go, the layout and the style of this house is unbelievable. It's a steal at 3.2 million. It makes you sick.
Oh, yeah. I know it is. That one is quite intense for that kind of carry on. Like, I mean, the houses do look amazing.
Only some of them do. Some of them look like they were made out of Lego and they're fawning over it like it's been this architectural, you know, dream come true. Like oh, give me a break. Yeah.
The thing is with those houses too is like, you know, they might look nice and, you know, it's kind of nice to sort of, you know, sort of be in the room or in the space for a few minutes. But then when you're like, if I'm hungover, like, would that, you know, black vinyl wall make me just want to puke? Or, you know, will that kind of, I don't know, is that chair made of nails just like not going to be actually as comfortable, like when I just want to like lie down on a big sloppy couch,
you just want to lounge with fast food surrounding you till the end of time, like
I have a really healthy lifestyle. Like, I just want to make it like really clear that I do actually have a healthy lifestyle. I know I come across on this sometimes as like someone who's just, I don't know, some kind of lunatic.
Who does not have a healthy lifestyle.
yeah. Listen, balance. Ronan, balance.
It's all about balance.
Balance. How did you get on this week?
Good. I'm trying to think. Did anything fun happen? No, nothing big was on the cards this week, unfortunately, just more work, which is where I am now, once again, on my lunch break. I'm very good with, you know,
balancing
my time and balancing it all out. Yeah, it's all good. I'm on top of it for once. Normally I'm like, I'll do it whenever. But now it's all like organized.
Let's get it done.
Yeah.
On a designated time. Yeah.
And that's
know.
Me. What about you? Anything fun to report?
I got one of my assignments submitted. So that's one quarter.
I said for... fun, Hal.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, but like the intense, like the good feeling, the good vibes that that brings is good.
I believe that's called smugness.
Smooth.
So smug. Yeah.
That's okay, Joe. Yeah, I don't have any other good. I had a terrible day in work. And it's just been horrible. Just
are
like,
are we near the mental mindset of burning the place down yet? Or
I mean, like,
has that time come and gone?
It's kind of come and gone. Like, I don't feel like that way, but I definitely feel like it may be just my time to go, you know.
Fair enough.
But
that means it's everyone's time to go. Fire.
Okay, I'm not an arsonist. You're talking like an arsonist. I'm like thinking like maybe security should check Ronan's bag before he leaves the building.
I'm just trying to relate to you because I know you have a tendency for arson. All right.
Okay. That's arson all. Around.
I'm just trying to relate to you because what? I know arson around.
We have fun.
We're such losers.
Yeah, it is true. It's true.
It's also true.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll move on.
I think you went first the last time.
It's true.
So I will go this time. So my choices were, you gave me Attack the Block, and then The Descent. So I actually realized I did see The Descent before. So I went with Attack the Block.
Yay. Good. Yes. I'm glad. Yes.
So I did
totally enjoy Attack the Block. So I'm eager to see what you thought of it.
Yeah. So it was made in 2011. I'm sure most people have heard of Attack the Block. I mean, if you haven't heard of it, where did I watched it on Netflix, but it's all four, so you can watch it there as well. Or Film Four, so you can watch it on all four. Yeah, so it was made in 2011, written by Joe Cornish, who is the director and writer. He is of like Adam and Joe fame. He's a writer on a bunch of other hit film things.
What other films has he done? Have you?
What other things he did? He had a hand in, so he's not like the official, but he co-wrote Adventures of Tintin with Edgar Wright and then went on to do Ant-Man. He co-wrote Ant-Man with Wright.
Very good.
Paul Rudd, who we're all like, I can't believe he actually co-wrote that. But he did.
Very good.
But Paul Rudd's great. So I just want to... Yeah. Little mention.
Just throw that in there. Yeah,
He's nothing to do with Attack the Block.
Nothing to do with it, but...
Nothing to do with it at all.
He's pretty great. I mean, ageless, as we've all seen. So,
like, well, for Six Degrees of Separation, because he co-wrote, you know, that movie with Paul Rudd, he's technically a part of this synopsis. Okay.
It's like, you know.
I digress. I'm on some kind of psycho tangent at the moment. So, the story starts out on Guy Fawkes Night, which if anyone doesn't realize what Guy Fawkes is, it's basically sort of like fireworks night, which originated.
I actually thought it was England's Halloween, but it's not. They do both Halloween and this, which is November the 5th, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Because of Guy Fawkes setting the Tower of London alight.
I think it was the
Tower of London or Parliament. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Westminster. Well, he tried to blow it up and he failed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then they all let their fireworks out that night in memory and just to have a bit of a laugh, I guess. So, but it's kind of key to the storyline that it occurs on this night. So we meet Jodie Whittaker, who's just walking along the street, minding her own beeswax. And then we see that she gets sort of set upon by a group of teenagers, and they hold her up at gunpoint, at hold her up at knife point and take her phone and kind of just sort of mug her and stuff. But like she gets, she's obviously terrified by this. And then that whole interaction gets broken up because you can see this massive like flash of light, like a massive firework or some kind of thing falls onto this car. And John Boyega, he's like, what the hell? And he goes out. He's the gang leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Jodie Whittaker, then she like with her stuff gone and, you know, but she has her life intact. She's like, okay, well, I'm just going to run off now with this massive distraction. So she legs it and the lads go over to the car where this crash has kind of happened. And John Boyega notices like there's this thing and everyone is like, what the hell? Like there's something has actually like burst into this car or landed on top of the car, and it's some kind of alien form. So they hunt it out. They kind of track it down to a local sort of, it sort of escapes off to this like a barn or some kind of shed or outhouse on a field, like a soccer kind of shed. And then the lads kill it and they bring it back to their flat or to their block of flats, hence Attack the Block.
We're in London, obviously. It's in the working part of London or the working class part of London.
Yeah.
Should be worth saying. Yeah.
And so they go up to their mate's house. So it's a local kind of small time drug dealer. The owner of this place is Nick Frost. So he's obviously going to bring the comedy in this kind of weird scenario. And they show kind of the head honcho drug dealer what they've brought. So they show him this kind of alien thing and basically don't believe the kids that it's an actual alien and just kind of think it's sort of a dummy or some kind of like model.
Hopeless. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guys kind of made and they're like, oh, it looks so cool. It looks so real. So anyway, the drug dealer actually gets John Boyega to like sell some drugs. And then he goes off and then the guys are just looking out the window again and they notice, oh God, there's like 1,000 more of those sort of beams of light that brought their alien down to Earth.
Well, not 1,000, but a few more.
There's like at least 10 that are kind of like streaming down and they're sort of bursting like, you know, like lightning through to the ground. So then they're basically, they go out and they try and find these like aliens that have kind of landed on the ground. And they get pulled in because Jodie Whittaker has gone to the police and says about her terrifying ordeal being held up at gunpoint. And she spots the lads and she points them out to the police and says, like, they're the lads that actually attacked me and stole all my stuff earlier. So the cops then arrest John Boyega, put him in the paddy wagon. And when they're doing that, the aliens actually come up to the cops, kill the cops. And then it's like Jodie Whittaker basically has to join forces then with the
muggers,
with the group, because it's her, it's all of them in together, whether they kind of are mates or not. It's like they have to fight off these kind of alien guys. So that's basically how the story goes. Now, I have to say, like, all of the characters are so good. at the beginning, like even up to that point, I was a little bit on the fence. I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of the story. And where's it going to go from here? You know, I kind of was a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I kind of really am into this. But actually, the story does evolve. Mm. And it really, it brings out different things about the characters. John Boyega's performance is amazing.
Yeah, this is his first film.
Yeah. It brings up different, I guess, themes like racial injustice, because there were several times they were like talking about like, let's ring the cops. Like Jodie Whittaker was like, let's call the police. And they're like, no, like, obviously they're just going to arrest us. Because like we're black kids and, you know, we look like we've killed like two police guys, even though they didn't.
Yeah.
So it kind of, and from where they were, so where they were from, like a terror block. And so it kind of has those big themes, and it's sort of, but it has this like entertaining storyline all the way through. Mm. So yeah, I'm really glad you made me watch this, because it definitely had good jumps in it. Like obviously, like when you watch this, it's like you can watch this at nighttime. Like it's not a kind of not like a spooky kind of watch.
Not like a watching over your shoulder kind of horror. No.
It's
good. Yeah.
But and like, I mean, you can tell it's fairly low enough budget. There's not too much, like there's not too many sort of close-ups of the aliens.
But they're super cool, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like the design of them is fucking really good. Like
yeah. And you have to really appreciate when like you can tell it's not a massive budget and it still does things effectively. Like I think like, you know, in the kind of battle scenes, it was extremely close up a lot of the time. So it kind of allows you to kind of really get in there, but you're not judging the look of the threat.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? Whereas if it was a big wide shot and you saw like the alien or whatever and the guys fighting them, it might not look as kind of realistic or as authentic kind of. But yeah, so I was actually well surprised. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was. So yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah,
and good. I read there's a sequel in development.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now,
cool.
When it says in development. Not for that. But when you think of it. How long is it
development for? Yeah.
Like, and this is a bit of a spoiler, so you can like, you know, go on 15
Skip
seconds.
Skip on, yeah.
But like with the fact that, you know, they did kill off that little group, or not little, but that group of like aliens, you know, the potential of like them coming back, or, you know, so maybe John Boyega is like going to be a commanding, like I don't know, army guy when we meet him next.
Yeah
because he's very he's clearly like a leader, you know,
he's a natural leader type.
So is he like someone who's working in politics that like I don't know, and then the aliens invade again, and I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. So
that's good, it's good.
Like, or Joe Cornish, are you just giving you ideas for your next script?
You want 20%.
But look, I mean, I did say it here first, so it's only fair and right, frankly.
I think so. Yeah. I agree. Very good. No,
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. Okay, in the background, right, there is actually, I have to pause this, it is so good. There is, I think they're doing like, they're either doing flu vaccines. I have, so it's the 9 o'clock, Irish 9 o'clock news on in the background. There's a mother and a daughter. I think they're either getting like the normal flu vaccine, or maybe they're getting like a COVID vaccine, but the mother has a Chucky mask on. like horror Chucky, like Child's Play Chucky, like his face over her like nose and mouth and chin and stuff.
Classic RTE.
It's actually the most bizarre thing. I'm gonna take a photo and I'll send it to you.
That's gas.
It's just hilarious. Okay. So what did I give you? You did
you gave me Hush on Netflix or Practical Magic, which I think you said was on Amazon.
Yeah. I know which one you did.
I read the synopsis for Practical Magic. I was like, I'm not going to watch that. So I went for Hush. Now, Hush, very quickly, is a 2016 film. It comes from director, writer Mike Flanagan, who also co-wrote this with his wife, who is Kate Siegel, who's also the star of this film. So a nice little filmmaking team they've got going on there, it seems. Mike Flanagan, for those who don't know, who will be the man behind The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor, and then most recently The Midnight Mass, which we covered a few weeks ago, all of which also stars wife Kate Siegel, his real life wife I should say, Kate Siegel. So this particular film is set in Kate Siegel's character's house in the woods. She's basically in the middle of nowhere. Lovely house that she has. She is an author who is deaf and dumb. Basically, we find out that she got bacterial meningitis when she was a child, which left her deaf and with no working vocal cords. So this one night, she's at home writing. She's a novelist, and she gets a visit from a friend of hers who wants to tell her how great the new book was and blah, blah, blah. And the friend comes and goes, and all is well, until the friend is attacked by a man in the woods wearing a mask, mask killer. Basically, she runs back to the house, banging on the door, being attacked, all bloodied, but Kate can't hear words or hear anything. No banging, no screaming, nothing. So she's completely oblivious to what's going on. And the man in the mask, who has a crossbow, basically kills her. Literally on front of her friend without her friend realizing. So, killed her at the door. Very gross, very intense. The man quickly realizes that the woman that he's looking at is deaf and has no idea he's standing mere feet from her outside the door. He is able to sneak into the house, get very close to her without her realizing she's on her laptop. Swipes her phone and then goes back outside the house, but he's taking photographs of her on the phone and then sending them to herself. So they're appearing on her laptop because, you know, it's all connected and stuff.
Yeah.
So the photographs of herself are appearing on the laptop to her. She realizes that somebody had her phones taking photographs of her and that she isn't alone. So
scary.
Very, very scary. So anyway, so she quickly realizes the man is outside. She sees him. She sees the mask. She's terrified. She quickly realizes that he has murdered her friend. So she writes a message on the window in lipstick in reverse saying, "Haven't seen your face. Won't tell anyone. Boyfriend's on the way. Go away." Man walks up to the window, sees the message, takes off the mask and knows that she can lip read. So she mouths to her, "You've seen it now. You're fucked," basically.
Yeah.
So she realizes at that point the man is not interested in getting away. He's interested in tormenting her and eventually going to kill her. And that's pretty much the story. The whole film is set in the house. It's an hour and 20 minutes long. It's nice and brief. Here's the thing. It's actually 80 minutes of pure anxiety. It's just absolute anxiety from start to finish. I did not enjoy watching this one bit. And that's not to say it's a bad film. It's a very good film. It's very well made. And it's very well acted. It's just absolute hard anxiety.
Work. Yeah.
It's hard work to watch. It's hard work to sit through.
Like definitely not one if you're hungover.
If you're hungover at home alone, do not watch this film because you will not sleep. And you will be checking every window and door in your house twice. So yeah, it's nothing against the film, but to say that I hated this is an understatement, because I was just so anxious watching this thing. And I also found that like that there is violence in it, and the violence is very visceral and gritty and realistic, and I found that quite upsetting, I suppose, almost, really, because it's done very, very realistically. And there's some horrible, horrible bits in it. But I can't fault it in terms of filmmaking and in terms of acting, because it's very good. And the guy who plays the guy in the mask, when he eventually takes his mask off, very good as well. Played by John Gallagher, who, if anyone's watched The Newsroom, John Gallagher, he plays a very unassuming, nice guy in that. And he's a million miles away from that in this film.
Can't see you in one thing and then see you like this in another thing. I cannot do that.
But yeah, the fact that he's so menacing in this and so believably menacing is a credit to him, right? Because, like I said, he plays such a nice, unassuming guy in The Newsroom, this is definitely one for pure horror film purists, I'd say, because it's a like, it's not like a regular horror film. Like, you know, in regular horror films, you get your jump scare and then you get your respite for a few minutes, maybe a laugh or something, or something else happens that takes the tension down a bit. This one, the tension never gets loose. It's all the way through. It never lets up, because it never cuts away from the house. It never lets up.
I'm just trying to think. I watched something else recently like that, and I can't remember what it was. It definitely wasn't my movie I watched there. Like, it's like Attack the Block is kind of like, it keeps you involved, but you're not like feeling that dread, that sense of dread you're talking about.
You never had that dread in Attack the Block. It's thrilling, all right, and entertaining. But this is just pure dread.
Yeah.
It's like ripping with it, like, so if you like that kind of film, if you like that kind of horror film, which I don't, this is definitely one for you, because this actually, is 80 minutes of it, like, you know.
I guess Midnight Mass is actually a little bit like that, in some of the episodes.
It seems to be kind of a style of his to kind of build this dread up,
and
have to constantly like double guessing everything, like, you know, because in this film especially, it's unrelenting. You're literally looking at every corner and outside every window to see if you can see a shadow or something, like, you know. So,
Was it, did you find like yourself drifting onto your phone, or actually was it keeping you engaged?
If anything, I was looking at my phone just to distract myself from that.
It's 20 past 10. Okay.
Yeah,
it's,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the 15th of October. Okay. No. Right. Normal.
It was not a fun experience in any way. But like I said, if you're looking for a really good scary film, a really scary, scary film, this is definitely the one, because like I said, it's just that pure anxiety all the way through.
Did you feel like you wanted, like, was Lisa there watching it with you?
I watched it alone.
Okay. Were you kind of a little bit like, I don't know, you want to just sit beside me for a while and just like be near me, because I can't be alone right now. I just feel isolated.
I'm pretty sure she would have beaten me up for making me watch this tomorrow. But like I said, I hate that you made me watch this is the final answer, but it's not enough. Because it's a bad film, it's because it's just, it's too scary, I guess.
Okay.
It's too scary. It's too good a film. Yeah.
Very, very scary. Well, but I guess that's good to have on, because some people, like, that is their absolute favorite, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, if you love, want to scare, then this is your man.
And like I said, it's not because it's a bad film, it's not because it's unengaging, it's just because it's very tense, and it's unrelentingly tense.
But good, I guess, if you want something to get stuck in, you know,
if you have like people around on actual Halloween night and you just want a solid film that's gonna, you know, make everyone creep everyone out, then this year man.
That's a good one.
So, because I don't think there's anyone who could watch this and go, this is stupid, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Because you're like, there's no denying like the scenario is completely realistic in that, like, if you were alone in this house and if this guy did want to torment you, he absolutely would do it this way, like, you know.
Oh my god, so, that's so scary.
Yeah,
I'm like yeah, because I'm I what you call it, I think, yeah, no, that's good. Cool and the Gang. Do you have any upcoming cinema?
I want to go see Dune.
Oh yeah,
the new big sci-fi thing.
Have you read that graphic novel?
No, it's a book actually. It was originally a big fucking huge book written by Frank Herbert.
I thought it was a graphic novel for some reason.
No, it was a proper novel, and apparently it's near unreadable. It's that dense, like it's one of those proper sort of that thick, like, you know.
Yeah. Writing thousands of chapters.
Yeah. I saw the original film years ago, the one with Sting in it, and it's an absolute mess. But I believe this is supposed to be much, much better. And yeah, I can't wait for it. It's supposed to be really good.
What about Eternals?
I give that a bash. I wouldn't be as looking forward to that now as other Marvel stuff. Nothing about the Eternals interests me. I had no idea like what they were in terms of comics and stuff, or what kind of impact they're going to have in the whole movie world, the Marvel movie world, like, you know. I'll watch it, but you know, it's not going to be essential viewing for me. But the big one for me now, did you see the trailer for the new Batman movie?
So I have only seen the images of Robert Pattinson. I've seen the kind of the Batman cover art, if you know what I mean. But I haven't seen the actual trailer.
Oh, it looks so good.
Really?
Oh, the Batman. It looks so good. So good.
He looks very thin.
He does look a bit thin, but I don't know. I think he might get away with it because he's got that very, you know, brooding, dense or intense personality, like, you know.
I mean, he was a vampire and stuff, so.
He was a vampire, so natural progression that he becomes a bat.
Very but, good.
Do you like that? The trailer looks deadly. Colin Farrell is the Penguin.
He just looks berserk because he doesn't even look like Colin Farrell.
It doesn't even sound like him. You hear him talking in this trailer, which he did the last time, and it doesn't even sound like him. It's mad, and I can't wait to see it. Like,
it's kind of weird when they cast like that. Like, they cast someone and then they actually just change their whole face
and they bury them in prosthetics. I think it's good. I think it's the kind of, you know, it's the kind of fun acting that they don't really do anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But
it just kind of goes to show, like, you know, because obviously before, you know, casting was so heavily into like the person has the look. Whereas now it's more ability, which like is good. Like, that's the way it always should be. And then they just kind of dress the person around the character, kind of.
Yeah. No, that's okay too. Like, it's a different school of acting, but it's fine, I think. I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah. Because like, what was it that was it like Will Smith, and there was like all of the, it wasn't prosthesis, it was actual CGI.
Oh, is that where he's his own clone or something?
But not like, he said, he talked about kind of like, I don't know where I was going with this. But I think it was something, I don't know. My head's gone. So
that's okay. See, that's what happens when you drink.
I have tea.
Oh yeah. Irish
actually,
tea.
That would be a good thing as well. Probably to have some alcohol when you're watching Hush is a good thing as well.
Yeah. Well, have, no, like, that'd probably make it worse, wouldn't it? That'd probably make it more paranoid now.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just can't stay in my house anymore by myself.
Yeah, don't get drunk, get stoned. You'd be grand. That's better.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Stoned. You'd be, you know, much more mellow. You'd enjoy it much more, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Batman is awesome. That's incoming as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the new Flash movie. You know anything about that?
No, I don't watch I don't like, I know the Flash series and stuff, but I don't watch it at all.
No. Well, the Flash film, they're actually bringing back Michael Keaton's Batman for it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Because I have the thing, it's the Flash that's in the current movies, you know, the one that you watch, the Justice League.
Yes.
So it's that Flash. And they obviously have Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
But they're going to have this thing. There's this famous Flash comic book called Flashpoint, where he goes back in time to stop the death of his mother. And he does. But that ends up changing history, or changing the future, which is his history, basically.
Yeah.
So, and he goes back to the present and he's changed everything, basically. So the idea, I think, in this one is that when he goes back to the future, he'll have changed Batman from Ben Affleck to Michael Keaton.
Oh my
Batman.
God.
It's a nerd's wet dream, but I can't wait.
Is Ezra Miller in it?
He's still the Flash, yeah.
He's so good.
Well, bringing back Michael Keaton Batman, that's a genius maneuver. I think that's brilliant.
Michael Keaton, just he's amazing for still being going strong, you know.
He's 70 odd, like,
yeah,
like, not a bother on him, like, so yeah, there you go.
Very good.
That's all the stuff that I'd be looking forward to, and you look forward to in your wheelhouse.
No, not really.
Oh. Once again, I'm inspired by our love of cinema.
No, I went to see Bond. Like, I just kind of, I don't know. I love going to the cinema, but do you know, it put me off a little bit. So when you went to see Bond, did you get checked for your COVID cert?
No, actually, no.
Yeah, and like, I didn't either. And then all the cases and everything were going up, so I just kind of felt like, might just give it a rest for just a minute and then go back when it's kind of calmed down a little bit more.
I'm gonna see you, like, photographs of Instagram of you in the nightclub this weekend, aren't they? Just absolutely raging it up.
Probs, like, not gonna lie.
First night in the nightclub. Woo!
Oh my God, could you imagine? I couldn't think of anything actually worse.
I know, yeah.
That would be hell.
Hell on earth. And the fact that it's going to be town where, like, you know, there's no night links running, and it's just going to be feckle taxis. It's going to be carnage.
Oh my God. I actually thought about that there as well.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare.
So I should also be giving it a pass. And it's a bank holiday weekend as well, which means it's going to be extra carnage. Yeah.
I know. Oh. Okay.
Are we old? Is this a sign that we're old? Are we giving out about?
Oh no, 100%. That is. We're aging, we're decrepit, old farts now. That's it.
Awesome. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Cool. Good. So do you have my choices for next week?
Yes. So your first one is The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, this is the Bill Murray thing.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't now, but I mean to get onto it.
And Adam Driver.
Yeah, Adam Driver. Yeah.
What's or Driver, choice? Not Shriver.
Driver. Yeah. That's what you said.
Oh, I said Shriver, but.
Oh, Shriver. Driver. No. It is Driver. Yeah.
And then your second choice is Ma.
Ma?
Yeah.
Ma. M-A. Yeah. Just Ma. Yeah. Right, okay. I assume this isn't some horrible social commentary set in Ballymun or something now. Just
No, it's like in America. Let me just double check. I know it's
this
on...
is Octavia Spencer.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, I know it's on, I think it might be on Netflix or it's on Prime. It's definitely on the platforms, the streaming platforms. Dead Don't Die is on Netflix.
Good. Cool.
So
all right. So your choices are, have you seen Zombieland?
Yes. One and you two.
You've seen one and two. Okay, we scratched that one off the list. Have you seen Happy Death Day?
No.
Okay, that's choice number one. That's on the Amazons. Let's see if I can find you another one.
Do, 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 do,
and do, choice number two is, have you seen From Hell?
From Hell? No.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Jonathan Depp.
Oh my gosh. That,
yeah, that's on Disney Plus.
Is he like a businessman or something in that?
No. No. Oh, this okay. is set in Victorian England. It's basically Jack the Ripper.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
That is right up my alley, mate.
I'd like to apologize for anyone listening from England. That was offensive to your ears, I'm sure.
Why? Why, Daphna? Why are you being like that, mate?
You sound like you're auditioning for Oliver Twist, like a really crappy school play version of it. Like.
From hell, they say.
No.
Guess which one I'm going to go for next week.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Guess what accent I'm going to do the whole review of
the movie. Yeah. I watched From Hell. I did.
It was made in 2019. Or I don't know when it's made. Obviously, I'll do some research.
You'll find out.
I will.
So
I can do that.
Just gonna spend all week practicing the accent.
Yeah. Like a normal person, like obviously I'm going to put some time in. Like
obviously that's completely normal. 100% normal.
Yes, it is. Okay, cool. Well,
it is.
We better go.
Yes, let's wrap it up. Yeah.
We shall talk to you guys next week. Have a great week and join us for more Halloween banter.
Next. Is it the last week next week? Is it the last week of Halloween?
I think it is.
Because after that, the Halloween will be over.
Yes, next week is the last sort of spooky movie week. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. Cool.
All right, well, enjoy the bank holiday, everyone. And by the time you've heard this, you'll have enjoyed the bank holiday, I guess.
Bank holiday will have been over. Oh, but actually,
I hope you had a good one.
They're going to hear this before Halloween.
So, yeah, there you are.
Have a great one.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.